Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. You can see him on TV every day on KITV and OC16. He's one of Hawaii's favorite sons, a role model, serving the community, both in the political arena as well as coach, mentor. He really is a facilitator of good. What's the backstory of my featured guest today? Well, what do you think it would be like if, you know, you got a scholarship offers from different schools because you're such a volleyball standout in high school, and then you're going to make a choice. You make a choice. You want to go to UH, play, you know, in front of your home crowd. And then you face an injury that shocks you, that surprises you, and your world is changed all of a sudden. The landscape of opportunity begins to shift. And how do you see God working in that situation? Well, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and we're here because we want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to know how much he knows you, loves you, and whatever you're facing right now, that nothing is so daunting that with Christ's help, you cannot overcome. You cannot be victorious, because with Christ, all things are possible. Ryan Kalei-Tsuji is a morning anchor. He's a reporter for KITV News. The program is This Morning. Well, he was born and raised in Hilo. He's a graduate of Waikea High School on the Big Island. He attended the University of Hawaii at Manoa. He got his bachelor's degree in political science and communications. He later went on to obtain a master's degree in public administration. While at UH, Ryan worked as a student manager and eventually an assistant coach for the UH Waihine volleyball team under legendary coach Dave Shoji. Ryan also worked in the Hawaii State Legislature, both the House, Hawaii House, and Senate. While in the House, he worked in the Majority Communications Office, and in the Senate, in the Health and Ways and Means Committee. In 2010, he began his broadcasting career as a color commentator with K5, the home team, for UH volleyball matches. And in the fall of 2011, he joined the OC16 sports team in the inaugural season covering UH sporting events. And now, in 2012, he officially joined KITV, the KITV Ohana, by delivering the news as an anchor and reporter on the morning newscast. He lives in Honolulu. He enjoys a bunch of stuff, playing. He's an athlete, still coaching volleyball, hanging out with friends, watching movies, travels, beach volleyball. But today, we've got him in studio with us. Ryan, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Wow, what an introduction.
Hey, we don't fool around over here, man. We want to get it right.
Thank you. Thank you. That's pretty much it. I think we're good.
Well, now we can get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, we can.
So what was it like, Ryan, growing up in Hilo?
You know, a lot of people who see me don't necessarily think I'm originally from Hilo. I think maybe I exude. A lot of people are like, where did you graduate from? Punahou or something? I don't know. I have this private school feel or something.
Yeah, but the private school aura.
Yeah. But public school from Hilo. Great small community, you know, very tight-knit community with my family there. And I enjoy going back home. I don't get to go back too often, but I think I've somewhat adapted to this faster pace lifestyle of Honolulu compared to the small town of Hilo. I enjoy living here. I think much more now that I'm acclimated to the environment. I don't see myself ever living in Hilo again, but always good to go back home and always good to kind of visit family and friends.
Yeah, well, okay, family and friends. So, tell us a little bit about your family.
Mm-hmm. Well, my dad is actually a state representative. He represents the Big Island, Representative Cliff Tsuji, and been in office for about close to 10 years now. And my mom is Dot. She still lives in Hilo, and she's retired. And I have an older brother, Ash, who actually lives up here in Oahu. So
now volleyball has been a huge part of your life. How did that all happen?
You know, I was one of those kids, I think, who played a lot of sports early on. And, you know, going into high school, I kind of wanted to focus in on one. And when I went into high school, I was focusing on golf and volleyball. And then I kind of just honed in on volleyball and started playing that year round with the club programs. And something I enjoyed. And you know, like you mentioned, I always enjoyed watching UH volleyball. Of course, it's a big thing. And just kind of really got into it and got really involved. And I was lucky enough, you know, by my play in my high school years that I had a few offers to play after high school and was really considering all different options before landing in on the University of Hawaii. Yeah.
Junior Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Yeah. So my senior year, I went up with the team to the Junior Olympics and I actually fractured my back. I was going up to block a ball and I landed on my middle blocker's foot and kind of popped my back and I continued to play the rest of the tournament and that ended up hurting me. I couldn't walk for like a week after that. And then the doctors told me that I had fractured my back and I wouldn't be able to play for 8 months to possibly a year. And at that point in time, I'd already committed to going on and taking a walk-on position with the University of Hawaii as a libero and was really excited about that. It's something I always dreamed about. And then this kind of happened and was definitely, you know, for an 18-year-old who dreamed of playing college volleyball, mm-hmm. and had everything lined up, it was devastating at the time, you know. And for me as an athlete, always being active, getting told that you have to rehab for 8 months at that point in time was pretty rough news to hear. But you know, I just remember it being a big deal, and just was trying to find ways to continue this being involved in the sport after.
You know, it's a big deal, and then for an 18-year-old, it's a huge, you know, outrageous thing that mm-hmm. happens. I mean, your life, you feel like your life is falling apart
mm-hmm.
in a situation like that.
Yeah, and you know, I always remember it because I was raised in a Christian home. You know, my mom kind of raised me that, and she was one of those who would drag me to church at New Hope Hilo we attend, and she would drag me to church even though when I was half sleeping, but it was a good foundation, I realize now, but you know, she's always like, God has a plan through all this. And at the time, you're 18 years old. You're like, what is this plan? You know, yeah. I mean, what do you, I can't play. I mean, what was that, you know, what was going to happen? So, yeah, it was a little tough. But he did have a plan and things ended up working out.
Well, we have a little bit of a benefit of hindsight at this point. Mm-hmm. This is several years back. Now, looking back now, you can say that maybe there was indeed a plan.
Mm-hmm.
What lesson did you take away from that point? If you were at 18 today at that crossroads in your life, if you had the benefit of what you know today, would you have done anything differently? Would you have been more appreciative maybe of the injury if there's such a thing?
You know, I think everything works out for a reason. And in fact, one of the scriptures that has kind of become my life verse, if you was, is Proverbs 16:9. And it's the version I like is God, a man can make his plans, but the final outcome is in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
So the plans that you have maybe set up for yourself doesn't necessarily always in line with what God has in planned. And, you know, for me, it things worked out. I ended up wanting to be involved in the sport so much that I emailed Dave Shoji at the time and said, hey, this was my situation. I want to still be involved. I want to help out in whatever way I can. Do you have, you know, can I shag balls in the gym? Just anything to be around the sport. And I remember Charlie Wade, who's the men's head coach right now, at the time he was the assistant, and he told me that the University of Hawaii always gets emails like this from people who want to be involved in the program, that want to help out. And usually they just delete them. And he said, for some reason, I clicked on yours. Out of 4 emails I got that day, similar to yours, I clicked on yours, and I thought, why not give this guy a shot? So he gave the email to Dave, and met up with them, and actually had to send them tapes to make sure that I was like a legitimate person, like I wasn't. it was somewhat embarrassing telling my old teammates that I was sending my highlight video to a women's volleyball team because, you know, obviously I can't play for them. But yeah, everything worked out and they ended up having a manager scholarship available. So I got a full ride for all my years at UH. And then, you know, over the course of the years, I've, you know, at the end of maybe 2 years, I'd considered, do I want to play again? You know, because I'd healed up from an injury and
yes.
was kind of debating if I wanted to get back into it. But I think at that point I realized that coaching was definitely for me. I enjoyed it. I was getting paid to do it. And you know, being involved in one of the most storied programs in all of collegiate volleyball. So I knew that, you know, that was the path for me. And at that point in time, I was like, I really didn't want to play. You know, I wanted to stay what I was doing. And so, yeah, I continued for 8 years. I was with the team. And by my final couple of seasons, I was as an assistant coach. So definitely worked out in the end.
Learning from the best. Isn't that what people dream of? Mm-hmm. I mean, to have an opportunity to learn from someone who has reached, you know, legendary status and mm-hmm. to be a part of that. And God had that plan for you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, of all the people, right?
Right. And I, you know, I learned so much through that program. I think more about myself more than anything else. You know, obviously I learned about the game and I learned about the X's and O's of volleyball, but I think I learned about myself and having to be mature as a, you know, 18 to 20 some whatever year old, because I was part of the coaching staff and I couldn't be maybe this college kid that hung out with the teams and all that stuff, because mm-hmm. I was somewhat of on an authority line, you know, I was mm-hmm. with the coaching staff. And so the decisions that I had to make and the things that I had to do were much more under scrutiny because I was in that position. So it's definitely helped me and in some ways helped my faith. I think during that time, my faith really got solidified in my own personal walk.
You know, let's talk about that when we come back from our break. You know, because the thing is, you know, a path closed, right? A mm-hmm. door closed. And, you know, people say, well, when one door closes, another door mm-hmm. opens. But you really saw the hand of God open up something that I would imagine must have been sort of a surprise for you to see
definitely.
This door open, right?
Right?
But now you're going through a process, and in tandem, there is a spiritual lesson or lessons that are taking place. And at the same time, you're learning how to relate in your new position. So you see the growth process taking place, As you're listening today to Ryan Kalei Tsuji, you might be going through a growth process. In fact, you know what? Martin, Ryan, and I, we say, you know what? You are going through it. In fact, we all are going through a growth process. The thing with Ryan is he also saw the hand of God in it. And sometimes we don't see the hand of God in our growth process. Today we're here, and I think he's here to remind you, by the Lord, that the hand of God is working in and through you. We'll talk about more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
Hear me call.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you become dejected because all your expectations, all of a sudden your dreams, you know, especially as a teenager, wow, they get shot down because you get injured. You're an athlete, you have opportunities to play collegiate volleyball, and then it doesn't work out. You just can't. And then you see the hand of God open up amazing opportunities, an opportunity that many people wish they had, but they don't even get a chance, and then it opens up for you. Well, that's the story of our guest today, Ryan Kalesuji. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. You might be tuning in right now. If you certainly want to grab the beginning part of our show, listen to this show in its entirety, maybe pass it on to a family member or a friend who could sure use some encouragement at this time. You know, we're in a time where people are needing hope, hope in times of crisis. Well, thegoodlifehawaii.org, you can download this show for free and go ahead and send it as a Facebook link. Pass it on to family members and friends. A big mahalo to RG Maintenance LLC for their generous partnership with us, enabling us to bring these stories to you. To you and all our other supporters, supporters who support this show, big thank you to you as well. To find out more about our partners, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can go ahead and click our partnership tab, and maybe you want to join in, and this is a listener-supported show. You might want to join in too. Go ahead and click that, and you can find out how. Ryan, so you're learning these lessons. You're a assistant coach, but you're a college student too, with Dave Shoji and Charlie Wade. What kind of lessons did you learn there and how you had to carry yourself?
Like I mentioned earlier, it was definitely a maturation process that was expedited because I had to really, I feel like, grow up in many areas. And I kind of did along my way, you know, spending the first, you know, large majority of the time as a manager and having to just take on the responsibilities of the things that Dave had entrusted me with. And, you know, each year I got more duties, more things were added onto my plate. And whenever you work, and I think it's relatable in any situation, whenever you're working for a volleyball team, a work environment, anything where you want that to succeed, you're going to pour more into it. And I just found myself wanting what was best for the program and trying to find ways that I could help to make it a better program in whatever way possible, whether it be on the recruiting end or whether it be just the overall the team as a whole and the product that we put up forth on the floor. Whatever way that I could help out, I tried my best to just continue to improve on. And I think Dave just recognized that and gave me more responsibilities. And one of those aspects was, you know, as my faith kind of grew in this, wanted to start incorporating faith into what we did. And we had a large number at the time of Christian players who were on the team and who were looking for more and were looking for ways that we could kind of stay connected. And one of the things that we established then that continue even to today is a chapel that we did. We do it before every match. And at the time when we started, it was just us. We didn't bring in any speakers, but it was just us kind of sharing our testimonies, sharing different words of encouragement before the game. And it was a great way to kind of just draw focus back to it put things in perspective that while it was a volleyball team that was playing in front of the state, one of the largest venues in the country, it was an opportunity for us to just put things in perspective of what was going on around the world and the challenges and how we got the opportunity to simply play volleyball and how we were honoring God and how we're displaying our faith through it. And throughout the years and throughout my time there, it's really grown, and we now have guest pastors coming in. Mm-hmm. And actually, through that chapel is actually how I ended up getting a job at New Hope, because that was my initial meeting with Pastor Wayne Cordero and Pastor Elwin Ahu. They actually came to speak to one of the chapels and formed a relationship with them through that. But through that process, I think it helped me to help the girls on the team. And, you know, in some regards, the girls helped me as well, you know, mm-hmm. with my faith and really trying to establish what I was there for. And I think at that time, one of the callings that I had for being on that team was to help to establish this chapel program that continues today.
Now, how long were you with UH women's volleyball?
I was there for 8 years. So from 2001 to 2008 was my final season. So I was there
from manager, then assistant coach.
And then my final, yeah, I became the assistant coach at the end.
What kind of lessons did you learn from Coach Dave?
So many patience. No, if Dave's listening. You know, there's so many things, I think, when you learn from somebody like that who has so much knowledge and so much that he has a definite style. You know, Dave mm-hmm. has a particular way that he likes things done. And I think his relatability to the players was something that I admired. I think he's someone who plans things out very thoroughly. You know, he has everything planned out from the time the girls practice to when they're going on a road trip. Everything is planned out. And I think I take that with him. I took that from him and just trying to be really prepared in the aspects and the things that I do. And at the same time, he's very, you know, a lot of people think he's kind of like, not necessarily, I don't want to use the word standoffish, but he's such a high figure that people aren't necessarily as open to going up and talking to him because he's Dave Shoji. But mm-hmm. he's a very personal, kind man who's really helped me a lot in other areas besides just volleyball, but just in life. And just it was kind of a joke because a lot of people actually thought I was his son for a long time. And people still to this day will refer to his kids as my own siblings. So I think people often Suji Shoji, I guess it's kind of relatable, but yeah.
Martin, you were talking about role models.
Yeah, you talk about, of course, Coach Dave Shoji mm-hmm. as being one of your role models. Earlier in that interview, you were talking about your father being legislature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of dropped various names. I'm wondering, you know, all of us have some mentor mm-hmm. or an influence that has come into our lives and maybe shaped us to who we are. I'm mm-hmm. wondering if you have a short list of people that you can recognize as providing you the guidance or the love that you needed,
yeah.
and then maybe even various lessons from each person. Maybe you've never got a chance to tell them. This might be a chance.
Yeah,
to say
I mean, I'm so blessed. You know, I feel that God has placed me with certain people in each facet of my life through different times I was going through that have so much experience. You know, obviously, like I said, those people that you mentioned, Dave, my dad. But there have been other individuals, I think, on the spiritual side, working at New Hope. I mean, here again, I had an opportunity to learn from one of the best, you know, Wayne Cordero, Pastor Elwin Ahu has just mm-hmm. been a great mentor as well. Both of them have really helped me in my faith and helped believe in me to bring me on staff as part of the management of New Hope for 2 years. You know, they were, again, huge influences in my life, and to be able to work under that covering under them and learning from these two great communicators and people who have obviously made a difference in this community was a huge asset. I have a couple other people. Randy Morris, when I was early on in my college days, he goes to Word of Life. He was really instrumental in helping me with my spiritual walk. Dean Kaneshiro is another brother who I admire, and he kind of does a lot of TV things on the side, and people might recognize him as the American Savings Bank guy with the remote control. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's been such a huge blessing for me. Calvin Kochi has been a great counselor, Rachi Mobukuro at New Hope as well. But yeah, there have just been a whole slew of people that have really contributed to me. And now that I enter this news, you know, side, there's also people there as well who have definitely spoken into my life and have provided wisdom. And some of them women, you know, Mahalani Richardson is my co-anchor, and she is just a fantastic professional when it comes to news. And she's taught me a lot. And I also have somebody on the mainland who actually reviews my work. And Whit Johnson, he works for CBS. He's another person that mentors me and provides feedback as well. So there's a bunch of people, you know, I'm so blessed.
You know, being a star athlete doesn't come just automatically without a teachable heart, a teachable spirit. And really, it sounds like it just kind of carries on in your career. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been coachable, you've been teachable. And look at that learning spirit, that attitude. God has really used that to give more grace, you know, mm-hmm. more favor has come upon Ryan Kalesuji. It's like he looks at you and he says, man, this guy, I want to give him more. I can entrust him with more because he'll find the right mentors. He'll be a good steward of the resources that I give to him. and he'll grow it. You know,
listening to your story, it comes like, you know, it seems like controlled chaos. I mean, you're doing all these different things. They all fit. And I might be thinking, you're just lucky. I mean, you're just blessed with the right people. You know, you've got the silver spoon in your mouth. I don't know if you've ever been accused of having too much luck on your side, but I'm wondering, that's probably not the case. You've probably have your own struggle. You had your collegiate, pre-collegiate mm-hmm. injury that totally derailed your life.
Yeah, I there's always struggles in everything, whether it be your faith, whether it be family, or whatever struggles that people go through. I am definitely not, immune from struggles in my own life, but I think that I've been blessed beyond measure to have the hand of God and the favor that I have. And sometimes I just laugh at, I look at the people that I can consider mentors or people that have been able to coach me along the way. And really, it is a blessing. And I think that's one thing that my generation or, the younger generation or the millennial generation doesn't take hold of enough, is that we're not necessarily learning from our elders. I don't know if I want to use the term elders, but from those who have experienced.
Sounds better than older, yeah, I guess.
Have experienced a lot beyond, because I think that for us as a younger generation, we need to learn from these people. We need to learn what they've gone through and their institutional knowledge, whether it be in whatever facet that I find myself in. But I think it's so important to hold true to those people and use them as confidants and use them as sounding boards for what you're going through. And I think if you don't have a mentor out there, you should definitely. I have, 10. Mm-hmm. So it's just an opportunity for me to get more clarity, as well as just sharpen, the different skill sets that I kind of find myself involved in.
You're a generous man, Ryan, because, you express value of life lessons. And, I mean, it just comes out very naturally. We're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, I want you to share, give us a glimpse. Give someone who's listening and saying, what is it like to be on staff with Pastor Wayne Cordero or Pastor Elwin Ahu? Ryan, you were there. You experienced it. What is it like? What were some of the things that you gleaned mm-hmm. from that you take now to KITV, mm-hmm. OC16? And as your career continues to unfold beautifully before you, and of course, you're in the public eye too, but there are things that are happening internally that God is teaching you, setting in you, in preparation for things to develop even further. A man of learning, a man who seeks out mentors, a man who is able to be mentored and groomed and taught. I think a man of good stewardship. Did you know that you have certain gifts and there are people that can pour into you and into your life in such a way that will elevate what you do to another level? If you're just open to it. Well, it's a good reminder for all of us, isn't it? When we come back, we'll hear more from Ryan Kalesuji. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
What if you were given an opportunity to, study under somebody that's great in their field, you get to be mentored by somebody who's on the legendary status in what they're doing. I mean, top of the line. Yeah, how would you feel? Well, what if you were able to do that in a number of venues, in different genres or different careers, and have that opportunity? Well, our guest today has had that. His name is Ryan Kalesuji. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. Mentors, the best of the best, and being able to sit under them. Well, Ryan, you've had that opportunity to do it with Coach Dave Shoji, and then you mentioned Pastor Wayne Cordero. Give us a glimpse. Wayne Cordero, Elwin Ahu, I mean, these pastors, everyone knows them. What was it like for you? Well, you know what? How did it start? How did it happen?
Yeah, so initially, like I said earlier, we had these volleyball chapels that we did with the Wahine volleyball team, and I had been attending New Hope, because I obviously went to New Hope in Hilo, where New Hope actually originated from, and then continued going to New Hope Farrington while I was up here in college, and wanted to get them involved and try and get them to speak at a chapel. And I knew Pastor Elwin, he used to play volleyball, as he spoke about in his sermons, and Pastor Wayne's always, a very big supporter of UH and just anything athletic. So I, emailed their assistants and saw if they were available, and sure enough, they were, and they would come in and speak, and just kind of, that was the initial meeting between us. It was through the Wahine Volleyball Chapel, and then I began serving at New Hope, and, things kind of just went from there, and I volunteered more, and as I got to know them a little bit more, one day, I was working at the legislature at the time. This was after my time with the Wahine volleyball team, and Pastor Wayne, actually, we had dinner right down the road at Sam Choi's, and I didn't know why he wanted to meet with me, and basically offered me a role on the management team, and I kind of was just like, me? I just couldn't believe it, that here was someone that I looked up to for a long time, growing up and listening to him in Hilo, and then, someone I admired asking me to join his management team, obviously one of the largest churches in the state. It took me a while. I didn't say yes right away. It actually took me a couple of months where I had to really pray through it and really decide if this was the move I wanted to make into ministry. And, after a while, I decided on it. I actually met with Pastor Elwin, too, at the time, and, decided to go down that path and go into ministry for 2.5 years.
What kind of lessons being there? Yeah, because the lessons actually are not, it's not didactic where let's go into class, I'm going to teach this. It's like life lessons where you're learning as you go about your everyday activities. What were they like?
I think a lot of people, obviously New Hope is such a large church. And when you get there, you realize just how big it is because of the amount of different things we have going on. And as part of, as the director of extension, I oversaw all of our outreaches and anything that had to do with the church outside the walls of the church. So me being involved in everything from, you know, community outreach programs, our involvement with nonprofits, marketplace ministry, military ministry, all these other facets of ministries that go on outside the walls of the church, it definitely pushed my capacity. And there were times that, you know, it, when you work for under people like Pastor Elwin and Pastor Wayne, they are visionaries. They have such great vision and ideas. And a lot of times it's up to us as the management team to execute that. So I think one of the biggest things I learned was just how big my plate was, how much I could handle. Relying, and I think one of the things that they are great at is establishing that team building concept and that fractal concept of building and solidifying the leaders under you to help really manage and run the church the way that it's able to run and be executed, because no one can do it. You know, well, not one person, not one pastor can do it. It really takes a team. And that whole concept of doing church as a team and really empowering the volunteers and the people of the church was something that was a new concept to me, because I was used to doing everything on my own. And I really had to give up that power, because a lot of times you're enabling other people to really take over and you're trusting in them. That was one of the biggest lessons I learned in just terms of building and creating a strong team that can help carry the ministry. But, you know, ministry is just so challenging, because there's always things that come up, and there's, especially with us, I mean, at New Hope, there were so many things that people needed from us because we are a larger church, whether it be resources or volunteers. And it was just being able to coordinate all these various projects and doing so in a way where we were doing it with great quality, because that's what, another thing that I think I learned from them is in everything that we did, we wanted to make sure that we were, one, honoring God, but at the same time also producing a product that would be a great representation of who we were. And we wanted to make sure that we were authentic, but at the same time that it was high quality. And so really putting a lot of value into what we produce was something that I learned immediately from both of them.
Have you seen the impact of what you've learned carry on in like what you're doing today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my days now are pretty crazy. You know, I get up at 2 o'clock every morning. I work from
three. Some people are just going to sleep.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's, I used to go to sleep at two. but I, you know, I'm at the station from 3 to about 9, 8:39. And then I work at the state capitol as well from 9 to 5. And then there are times where I go to OC Sports to do UH games on the weekends and stuff after 5. So every day I'm working from 3 a.m. to 5 p.m. Those hours and the work that I'm doing there is not nearly as tough as the work I was doing in ministry. The day is longer, but the work is not as tough. I think working in ministry definitely helped. Anything from here on out is easy, I think, for me, because of the amount of things that we were doing, the things that I was doing at New Hope, and just the different things that I was involved in. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but it definitely made me grow and forced me to learn about who I was and solidified my faith in a way where I had to really trust in God a lot of times, because I was doing things that I had no clue what I was, you know, entering into. But really just having that faith and falling in line with what the leaders had in store. But like I said, you know, the work of ministry is harder than anything else that I'm currently doing now. And something that I think I have a lot, I give a lot of credit to those who continue to work in ministry, because it's very tiring, but at the same time, it's so rewarding.
You know, earlier you said that you were offered the position to be on staff at this this church, but you hesitated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering. You also said right now that it's the toughest work. I'm going now. If I was a believer out there and I'm on fire for God, I want to get into ministry, and I hear you say this,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's got to be somewhat I don't want to say discouraging, but I guess the words of reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what made you decide to leave the working, if you'd say, the marketplace and go into ministry?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, learning what my position would be, I realized the amount of people that I could impact and the amount of things that I could do to influence people. And there's no other job that I felt would allow me that ability to make a difference that fast. You know, working in government, we hear about problems all the time. We hear about homelessness. We hear about all these other things that are going on. And it takes so long for the legislative process because of bureaucracy to get things done. Mm-hmm. And here I was at New Hope, being blessed to work with one of the largest churches in the state. And if we saw a problem, we could go and fix it. You know, whether it be a building that needed a repair at Farrington High School or helping to feed the homeless. We had that instant capabilities because of our manpower and because of the wonderful volunteers that we have to go and make a difference. And I saw that as a great opportunity for me to be involved and be a part of something where people's lives were being changed, souls were being saved for Christ. And, you know, as much as I am enjoying the work now, I really do miss ministry and being able to just see those people come to Christ and seeing those hands raised and being able to touch those lives, I think, was something that I will never forget and something that I want to continue to be a part of, even in the capacity that I'm in now.
So, you know, UH volleyball, you know, not to go back mm-hmm. and retract, but UH volleyball under Dave Shoji and ministry under Wayne Cordero and Owen Ahu. And now you're in the political arena, you know, on a daily basis. I mean, brother, when do you sleep? You know, I mean,
I don't.
By the time you're ready to sleep, I mean, it's like by the time you get to sleep, it's time to wake up, you know, kind of a thing. But I see your positioning in ministry and your positioning in the political arena. I mean, really, really interested, Ryan, to hear how you see the two being able to help facilitate a better society. When we come back, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, and the reason is I want to delve into it. I want you to, you know, just have freedom to extrapolate. And so when we come back, you know, that's a real question. You know, we talk about churches, church ministries, they're able to meet the needs immediately, the governmental process. But, hey, we need them both. They both go, well, in some ways, we have to find a way to work together. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Ryan Kalei Tsuji. You know, the Lord has strategically placed him. I mean, it's a real great example for Martin Aranaga, myself, and for you as you're listening. Because when you see an example of someone who has been led by the Lord, their life is kind of navigated by God, you see the hand of God at work for the better of your life, our lives, for the better of Hawaii, for the better of our community, better of our society at large. And he's here with us in studio to talk about it. He's a communications guy too, so he can explain it real clear. Stay with us. We'll be back with Ryan Kalei Tsuji.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You get into a new job. Well, I call it a new ministry, and you're there, you're challenged by it. I mean, your plate is full. I mean, you feel like, okay, my plate is full. Now I need to get a bigger plate. It's stretching. My capacity is stretching. You finally get into it. You finally get the hang of it. And then you feel that the Lord is leading you elsewhere. And where do you go from there? Well, see, that's what happens when you're a follower of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord leads in ways that, you know, sometimes... Well, like Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. You don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Well, Ryan Kalesuji is here in studio with Martin Arnaga and me. And we're pleased to be with you. This is a real special day with Ryan here in studio with us. This is the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. A big thank you to RG Maintenance LLC for their sponsorship of our program. Ryan, okay, so you're there at New Hope. There's a change on the horizon. What happened?
You know, for me, it was a point in time where I think at some point in time I realized that, like you said, I had gotten comfortable. I understood what my responsibilities were. I had things down. I had a great team of leaders under me, and things were moving, in my spirit as well. I began to realize that as much as I enjoyed ministry, as much as I felt like I was called to in that season to learn under Pastor Elwin and Pastor Wayne, I almost felt like the Lord was calling me into a different direction and going back into the marketplace. And it was difficult because when you're a Christian, your whole idea is you want to serve in ministry, you want to give back, you want to serve the Lord. And I was doing that, and I felt like that was the apex of my career. Mm-hmm. That's what I was supposed to be doing, is serving people through ministry. But as much as I was doing that, I didn't feel that that was the sphere or that mountain of influence that the Lord had called me to be a leader of and an influencer of. I always had a heart for being back in the marketplace or being, you know, in the entertainment or media field. And at that time, I had gotten offers and I was working with OC Sports and all that. And it was challenging. You know, for 2 months, I struggled. I was meeting with several people who really helped decipher those things for me and helped to bring me clarity that I finally realized that I didn't necessarily have to be in the church or be in the ministry to be a minister. I could be more influential in where I felt that God had called me and equipped me to be in, and be more of a help more people and influence more people in where He had called me than I was necessarily in the ministry. And I could have done, like I said, I could have continued to do it in ministry, but I think someone else could have done it better who is called and was equipped for that. I was equipped to be in the marketplace, I feel, and being government and being in the media, and that's where I kind of had to make that decision.
Ryan, how do you get that kind of sensitivity to know that? It's intuitive. I mean, how did you know that?
It was ministry. I mean, it was listening to my mentors and people who have helped guide me through that. But, you know, and it wasn't easy. I mean, New Hope definitely... You know, they wanted me to stay on board. They were trying to, you know, we're trying to work things out and trying to find ways where I could do both. And, you know, I kind of had to just take, you hear that people say I had to take that leap. And for me, it was a leap out of ministry, which is somewhat different from what you normally hear.
Most guys, they're going leaving their businesses.
To it, right. To right. And so for me, it was like, it was such a different concept for me. But I knew I had to take that leap. So mm-hmm. I told them I will be done at the end of the year, not knowing exactly what was on the horizon. I didn't have anything lined up at KITV. I didn't have things lined up at the Capitol.
And when you leap, you usually want to know what a platform
exactly,
you're going to go into.
Exactly.
And it wasn't there. Just go.
Yeah, I had no idea. So I was like, all right, if I have to find a part-time job and work in a restaurant, maybe that's what I had to do. But, you know, as soon as I took that leap, I think things just started falling into place and, you know, had an audition with KITV. My former employer, Senator Ige, graciously allowed me to come back to the Capitol. And these are the two spheres or the two mountains that I felt like I could be most influential in was government and as well as media. So
how did they fit together?
You know, I realized that we hear so much talk of the separation of church and state now, and how so many people are aiming to really draw that line. And I think if people really understand the history and the foundation of this country, they realize that this country was built on the foundation of Christ. And trying to establish that back into government is something that I think is essential. I think that in terms of just the policy making, there's so much more that can be done together. If the state and the churches can collaborate, there are so many areas where the nonprofit sector can be more applicable and be more influential in the community if they get the support of the state. So I think it's a partnership that needs to be formed. I think that there needs to be more communication between churches and other nonprofits that are willing and are currently doing the work. You know, this morning I was out at Makaha covering a story about the homeless out there, and it just breaks my heart to see these 200 people who are being pulled out of the beach and having to move out because the city is saying they have to come in and clean. Those are the types of situations where it shouldn't just necessarily be the police coming in to move them out, but necessarily a church group and some other organizations that can come in and assist in transition. And I think those are ways that these two entities, the church and the state, can really collaborate and work together to help those who really need the most help. And that's something where I see the two working together and finding opportunities and finding ways for that to work. I'm not necessarily in the position to make that happen at this point. I'm a legislative. I handle our communications as part of the Ways and Means staff, so I'm not necessarily in that capacity. But I'd love to see that happen one day, down the line for sure.
You know, a lot of our lives, you're following the path, you're following your guidance of the Spirit, but yet I'm sure there's a sense of intentionality in the things that you do, and you speak very passionately about the church, the state, what you can do, scope of influence. It sounds to me like if I opened up the pages of Ryan's journal and I look into the page of vision casting, that you've probably got something written in there. What does your vision for yourself look like?
You know, as much as my mom doesn't want me to do it, she has always been against me running for office. But I do definitely see myself in the political field one day. And not necessarily saying that I would be following in my dad's footsteps at all, but I think that for me, that's my passion is serving people, because I've done that in ministry, but doing that in a way that's actually able to change policy and perception within government. If given the opportunity, I would love to do that. The thing is, I don't necessarily want to be a career politician. I don't want to be some young kid who's run and becomes this politician for the rest of his life. And so I definitely see that down the line from now, not anything immediately, but, being involved in that, I think that it's helped me. I'm definitely enjoying the experiences that I'm learning at KITV and the things that I think one of the biggest things that I always learned throughout my entire career process in the multitude of things that I've done, and I've done through ministry and volleyball and TV and politics, is relationships. And I always tell the former players this, the Wahine volleyball team, I always tell anyone I make contact with, it's not necessarily about the points that are scored on the scoreboard or the game. It's at the end of the day, what are the relationships that you're going to take away? And I get to do that every day being on KITV, being out in the community and hearing the people and what they're going through and building those relationships with people whose stories we're reporting on is such a blessing to me. And I always try to build, really hone into that, the idea of trying to build relationships with everybody that I make in contact with, because at the end of the day, I think relationships is the most important thing for all of us, you know, whether it be we needing support and someone to lean on or just someone that we can influence later on in our lives. And that's something that I've tried to take away.
Now, being a relationship man, I mean, a guy who really cultivates relationships. You value, you love people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole thing about service. You want to make a difference in the lives of people because at the very heart of it, you love people. And gosh, no wonder you were a minister in ministry. But no wonder you're you're interested in politics. I mean, there's a real, kind of a purity to the simplicity of just, love people. Now, when you relate with people, Ryan, when somebody is facing a trial, a tough time, because somebody today listening is feeling like maybe they've got their back against the wall, they're going through a tough time, family, business, finances, what kind of things have you shared with people when they were hitting the skids of life? so to speak.
You know, I think everybody goes through that. And the one thing that I think the enemy wants to make you think is that you're alone in this. And that there, the moments where you feel most alone, I think, are the moments where you need to reach out to those around you. And I think it's so important that you build a support group of people. And it doesn't, I'm not necessarily talking about mentors. I'm just talking about people that you do life with. And like I said, I'm so big on relationships. You know, there are so many people in my life that I know that I can call upon when I go through these tough times. And I think it's so important that people out there surround themselves with individuals that are able to speak into their life and speak wisdom and bring clarity in those situations, because those are going to be the moments where you're going to need a lot of support. And I would advise to, one, surround yourself with those people, but also just get into the Word. You know, there's been so many times where, as much as I want people, I want the answers from those around me, really the answer, the only answer I need is in the Bible. And it's diving into the Scripture, and it's just, you know, it's spending some alone time with God to really prayerfully go through whatever lessons he's trying to teach you, and making sure that you have that discernment to really hear what he's trying to teach you.
Ryan, let's do this. Let's figuratively lay hands on somebody who's driving right now, or someone who's alone right now. And Ryan, you can just lead in a prayer for someone who needs prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time, this opportunity that we get to speak into the lives of those out there who are listening, Father. And whether it be a physical ailment, a social, a financial, whatever situation that this individual may be going through, Father, I just pray that your healing blessing, that your name just bring peace and clarity to their lives, Father. We know that you are always with us, and sometimes we often forget about that. We get distracted by the noises of this world. We get distracted by the influences of others, Father. Ultimately, we want to just hear your voice. So, Father, I just ask that you speak loudly and clearly into the lives of those who are struggling within this time, and we just pray that you will continue to surround them with individuals that will help bring them wisdom and discernment, Lord, to make decisions that may not be popular, Lord, but decisions that are right and just under you. So I just pray that you will shower these individuals with your blessing, Father. Just may they be comforted by your name, and may they continue to seek out you in the Word and through other people that they can trust and know that you are always by their side. May we never forget your joy and your love for us, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan.
No problem.
In the next few days, you'll hear stories. I mean, this is reality radio here. Well, today was a special program. Invite someone to listen in and be inspired. This program is made possible by our financial supporters. If you'd like to be a part of helping someone in need of God's love and hope through the Good Life Hawaii radio show, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Click the Partners tab. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Ryan Kalei Tsuji. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga, and technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.